We are encouraged by God Himself to seek His face. I want you to turn tonight over a passage of Scripture, which hadn't been that long ago since I've shared with you. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It does not hurt to revisit this area again. Because here in the Word of God is why God has placed us here at this particular time, is to seek His face in prayer. I'm going to make a confession to you. It's almost like the pastor's given an invitation and he's already come forward. Over the past few weeks, I will confess it seems like my personality, I guess you call it a personality, has become somewhat hardened. I apologize for that. I'm a people person. Pretty much have been since the Lord's called me in ministry. Backwards and shy before that. But the Lord has a way of changing us. I do not believe I show partiality toward people, whether they be male or female, whether they speak a different language than me. I love trying to communicate to people with different languages. Whether they come from a different country or from the same country, I love different cultures. I find people fascinating. We've been told over the past few weeks, probably past couple months, how we're supposed to think. You're not to shake a hand. This past Sunday, Brother Dave and Sister Shirley's first time back in church, he come smack straight up to me and shook my hand. I appreciate that. The government would not want us to do that. They have told us to stay home at different times. Stay only with your family. Stay 6 feet apart. They're trying to change the way we think. Put on a mask. Don't put on a mask. Put the mask back on. You can't sing when you do worship. Things are going to be different. You can't show kindness to other people because somebody might think you've got ulterior motives. People like to put things in our heads to make us think the way they want us to think. We must answer to the Lord our God and Him only. The thought patrol has been running rampant over the past few weeks. When they tell you to wear a mask, and if you don't wear a mask, that means you don't care for people. I say hogwash. They tell you not to assemble, but you got a right to protest. We live in a pagan nation. The Word of God tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold is a more, pardon the term, liberal interpretation. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mindset. I'm afraid many churches have been squeezed into a mindset. Across the United States, we have seen injustice hostility, inequality on a lot of different levels. We have seen protest, and we have seen people hijack protest with rioting. Not all that protest are evil, but those that turn it into riots are evil. I have a question for you tonight before we get into the Word of God. I don't know if I told you to turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 2 is where I'd like for you to turn. But do Christians have a right to protest? Ponder that thought with me for a moment. As a citizen of the United States, we have rights. We all have rights. We have the right to protest. And I don't protest somebody protesting if they got the right to protest, as long as they do it peaceful and lawfully. They have that right as a U.S. citizen. But my question is not, do you have a right as a U.S. citizen to protest, but do you have a right to protest as a child of God? I pondered that thought today, and I thought to myself, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. And you're to therefore glorify the Lord your God with all your being. We should desire His will, His way. That means I've surrendered my will, my way, unto Him who's Lord of my life. Which way He guides me and directs me, that's the way I need to seek to go. To protest against government or authority, I don't find it in Scripture. As far as God's people protesting, we do find the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they groaned and complained under the hand of Pharaoh. People always groaning and complaining, though, aren't they? You remember what the Word of God says over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17? It says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary to the others, so that you cannot do the things that you would." We will always have a struggle in this life of struggling with the flesh and struggling with the spirit. But protesting from a child of God is a form of complaining. I'm not saying you're in the wrong if you protest as far as what you're protesting about. But I am saying there's no biblical precedent. Now, somebody can point that out to me later in the Word. I don't find it personally. But in the Bible, what we see as far as protesting, we see basically, let me give you the first instance, would be in the book of Genesis. It's a protest against God. We see Satan protesting against God. Has God said that you should not eat? We see the protest of the world against the children of Israel as they're going into the promised land, and we see the protest against God's people. We read of protest over in Psalm 2 and verse 2. Why does the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, they set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." You see the heathen rage. The ungodly, the people imagine a vain thing, an empty thing. We see in the New Testament the protest against our Lord Jesus Christ to the point to where they nailed Him upon the cross. We see the protest against the apostles in the book of Acts. We see the protest against the apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, and to where they whipped the crowd up into an uproar and it was a riot. The protest went to a riot and they were ready to kill the apostle Paul. In the first couple of centuries after Christ started his kind of church, what we see is there's protest against Christians and the killing of Christians, the taking of their property. Up until the year 325 AD, when Constantine proclaimed that Christianity will not be persecuted no more. Then when you shoot down to about 1200 AD, all the way through 1700 AD, you see the Inquisition. And it's basically the Catholic Church protesting against Christians, killing Christians, taking their property, torturing Christians, trying to get them to renounce their faith. Today, what should be our response to all that's going on? Should we be pacifist? I'm not saying that. Should we take up arms? I'm not saying that. Where should our position be? One of the quotes that I read this past Sunday by Hudson Taylor, I think it's a good guideline. When someone was opposing him and spreading rumors about him and falsehoods about him, and they went back to England while he's in China and stirred up all kind of people against Hudson Taylor, he never made a remark to them. What he simply said, "I desire to move men by God." Now, you know what? That is a good guiding principle. If we want to see people changed, governments change, powers change, if we want to see major change, you know what? We got a direct line with the Lord God. We've got access to the throne of grace. Is there any better way? Is there any stronger power than the Lord our God? God has placed us here for such a time as this. That's why you're living right now. God's got you placed in a particular time period just for this purpose. Listen to what the Word of God says over in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I must tell you that I do not have all the answers, nor do I ever try to give like I know all the answers. But the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." God's given us everything we need according to life and godliness. We have all we need according to His Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the Word of God says, as Paul is writing the young man he's mentoring, Timothy, he says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all..." I want you to pause here with me for a moment. I believe God desires for us to pray. I believe God desires for us to seek His face as His children. It shows a dependency upon Him, that we're trusting Him and we're seeking His will and want His way. And His ways are so much higher than our ways, His thoughts than ours. We know that. It's not our way we want. We want His way. So God, in essence, is commanding us to pray. The Apostle Paul is exhorting or urging us to pray. And as he's urging us, this word exhort, it's the word parakaleo. It means to come alongside. Paul is urging us to come alongside in prayer. And I want you to notice he says, first of all. your first response to anything that happens to you in life should be toward God. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. The first thing you should do is seek God's face. First thing I should do is seek God's face. Posted a picture online of our president with the Bible in front of the veterans' memorial that had been so defaced. Now, what led up to that, I don't know. I wasn't there. Nobody else was there that I know. But this I know, I'd rather see a president with a Bible standing in front of a church that has given honor to a memorial for our veterans than to see that memorial defaced and spray-painted with curse words all over it and vulgarities. It's sad. And yet we have Christians making fun of our president because he did that. It's disturbing. God has called us to pray. First of all, foremost, here is what we need to do, is call upon the Lord. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 33. In Jeremiah chapter 33, and down in verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. God's message throughout His Word is for us as children to call upon Him. In John 16 and verse 23, in the Word of God, we read, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Here's an open command from Jesus Christ. Ask my Father anything in my name, and you'll receive it. Wow! Think of that. Anything in the name of Christ. Now, what does that mean? It must line up with the will of Christ. It's not your whim, and whatever you want, you get to ask, and God's like a genie, and He's going to give it to you. No, you ask anything in the name of Christ, just like Christ would be asking for it, and if it's God's will, which it would be if it's Christ lines up with His name, you know what? You'll get that request. Here's how to get your prayers answered. Ask anything in His name, and He will answer, is what the Word of God tells us. Listen, I'm going to jump ahead to even this coming Sunday sermon. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4 and down in verse 16, the Word of God tells us, let us therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Does God desire to show mercy to us, give grace to us, to help us when we're in need? When our nation's in turmoil, does God desire to help us? Yes, He does. I want you to notice that word therefore at the beginning here, let us therefore, or therefore let us, you could put it either way. Therefore refers back to what's right before it, and that's Jesus Christ is our high priest. We have a high priest. Is Jesus Christ the righteous? He's touched with the feelings of all of our weaknesses, all of our shortcomings. He understands all that. He's been tested just like you and I have been. Yet He's at without sin. Therefore, you and I need to come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace, that He might help us in time of need. Let me ask you, do you think our nation is in need at this particular time? You're like an ostrich with your head in the sand if you're shaking your head this way. You know what? We are in need of the Lord. First of all, foremost, what are we to do? Pray. We find that right in this verse of Scripture. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. And I want you to notice, he lists four different things. And they're pretty much synonymous to a degree. Supplications would be petitions. They would be requests that you make unto God. Prayers is a more general term. It's talking more about, I think, with prayers. Prosukos is the Greek word. And that's more of a humbling oneself, kneeling. And I believe that's more of the attitude of the heart than the outward position. Because you're in God's presence. You bow before Him. Your prayers are foremost. Your request. Intercessions. You know what intercessions is? To intercede for others. Pray for others. And the giving of thanks. You know what giving of thanks is? Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about a turkey. The giving of thanks. The Greek word is eucharisto. Well, same thing as far as giving thanks. We give thanks to God. Oftentimes, and I think it's the Church of England, maybe the Catholic Church, they talk about the Eucharist. As far as in their Lord's Supper, which we do not do it the way they do. Ultimately, Eucharist just simply means thanks, giving of thanks. Our prayers, I think it's talking about prayer in general here, and there's different aspects to prayer. In our prayers, we need to give thanks unto God. Even in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of rioting that goes on across the land, we need to be giving thanks unto God. We know God's in control. What is the extent of our prayers? The Word of God tells us, for all men. You need to make prayer for all men. Intercede for all men. Who is all men? Well, that's pretty easy. Let me tell you who all men is. All men. Can't get more simple than that. You know who all men are? All men. And he kind of narrows it down just a little bit in the very next verse. He says, for kings. The king back in that day and time was for Nero. Now, you know what? If I lived with Paul in that day and time and I was a Christian, I was a child of God, I would not agree with Nero. Nero and I would not be on the same page. I heard Nero was a nut. Burned Rome down, turned around, blamed it on the Christians. You're to what? What are you to do with Nero? You're to make prayers for him. You know what? You need to pray for those that are against you. If the President of the United States is against you, you need to pray for him. Do you need to speak against him? No, you need to pray for him. Do you need to shine a bad light? No, you need to pray for him. Do you need to give your opinion about what the President said about so-and-so and so-and-so or what he did? Da-da-da-da? No, you need to pray for him. What's the Word of God instruct us to do? To pray foremost, first of all, for all men, for kings. Not only for kings, but for all in authority. That means if President Obama is president, we need to pray for President Obama, but he's not president. If Andy Beshear is our governor, we need to pray for Andy Beshear. Does that mean I need to agree with his policy? Absolutely not. If he believes in murdering of babies, opening up butcher shops for babies, forget it. I cannot agree with that. But I am commanded to pray for him. And you as a child of God are commanded to pray for him also. This all in authority. That includes congressmen, senators. There's a lot of issues here we wouldn't agree with people on. That means the mayor. That means the police department. That means the military, those in authority. This I know, if a police officer told me to get on my knees, I'd get on my knees. You know why? Because he's the authority. Now, I wouldn't get on my knees to worship him. That ain't what I'm talking about. If he's trying to arrest your pastor, if he tells me to put my hands behind my hands are going behind my back. He's the authority. The problem is we've lost respect for authority. How do we get that back? How do we teach our children to respect authority? It must come from the Word of God. We must build that foundation with our children. Because what we see in our society is something that has happened over a period of years and undermining authority. And we see that actually working out before our eyes in our day and time. There's little respect for authority. Now, why should we pray for those in authority that we don't agree with? Why would Paul pray for Nero? Notice what verse 3 says, or verse 2, the latter part, that for the purpose we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This word honesty means dignity. It's the outward show of that attitude that's in a righteous behavior. You're to pray for them that you might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, because this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Do you believe Paul prayed for Nero's salvation? I believe he did. Was Nero saved? Don't seem like it. But he's got to answer to the judge of all the earth. He's got to answer for himself. And even so, we're called to pray for our leaders. Too often in our day and time, we're too ready to give the opinion instead of the prayer. May the Lord help us as His children to be obedient unto His Word. Let me ask you, what would glorify God most? In the situation we're in, prayer or protest? As God's children, God's calling us to pray. There are people hurting. Hurting at the hands of other people who are trying to hurt. I do believe there is a greater evil going on than what you just see on surface. We know we're in a spiritual warfare. But let me tell you, there is a greater evil at work in the United States of America. And I do believe that greater evil is trying to crumble the freedoms that we've got and to get people to rebel. I believe God hears our prayers. I believe we need to seek God's face. And I believe we need to stand in the gap. And if there's opportunities where we have to put feet on our prayers or to help someone who is hurting, may God move our hearts to reach out. Even if they're not like us, may God give us a compassionate heart. Why? That we may lead quiet and peaceable lives, and that people might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to dismiss us in prayer, but I'm going to lead us in prayer. And you may remain seated right now if you like. And as Brother Thome cuts the live streaming off, we will have different men come up. I'm going to have you take the microphone and even call upon the Lord. This is not something that I want you to feel obligated to do in public. I understand you can pray right from the seat where you're at. This is not a pressure, just like you got to wear a mask or you don't got to wear a mask. It's no pressure. This is not you got to pray up here or you don't pray at all. You can pray in your seat. But what I am emphasizing is that we need to seek God in prayer. We need to cry out for His mercies. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we approach Your throne of grace, Lord, we do want to rightly divide Your word of truth and be consistent in rightly dividing Your word of truth. We want to be called the peacemakers. Lord, we want Your will. We want to see Your mighty hand move across this land, reviving the hearts of Your children, stirring us up to take a stand for righteousness and justice for all. Lord, we pray as You revive our hearts, that that would stir us up to the point where we would go and share the gospel with others. Help us to go without fear or favor toward man. We realize our nation is in need of You. So, Lord, even as now different men of our church may come forward and seek Your face, or whether they're seeking right from the pew where they're sitting, Lord, we ask that You hear our cry. We ask that You answer our prayers. And Lord, we give You the thanks even in advance for hearing us and answering. Work effectually and mightily in our midst that You might be glorified for Christ's sake. Amen. If there's any that would like to come, I'm asking you at this time, you may come forward.